On this episode, I talk with my friend and talented actor-director Todd Jenkins. You may know him from his hit series Reservation Dogs and also the killer horror film Cherokee Creek, in which he starred and also directed. When you're done with this episode, don't forget to check out my fellow horsemen of the podcast Apocalypse. Everything Went Black podcast, Necromaniacs podcast, and Into the Necrosphere podcast. Thanks and enjoy.
I guess we had a delay. Yeah, man, thanks for having me back on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. I think the last time we kind of like chatted was I did an interview on the website and stuff, like a written interview with you. So that was a while ago.
Man, I can't keep up with these interviews. I don't know what's going on. I think somebody's mad at me right now that sent me one, but I think they sent me like a bunch of questions. It was in the middle of production. I was like, dude, I can't. There's no way. You get better answers from me if you just call me.
Yeah, and I mean, you're busy as fuck. I mean, you were busy before, but now that you're doing a season two of Reservation Dogs, which congratulations on that. It's fucking badass.
It is badass. I don't know how many episodes, man. I'm hoping we get to do a few, but, you know, time will tell. They're short seasons, so, I mean, it's only, I'm assuming it's going to be another 8-episode season like the first season.
Uh-huh. And I like the 8-episode thing. It kind of, like, draws you in. You want more, you know, like, because you're so used to everything being, like, 10, 15 episodes, sometimes more. So it kind of draws you in, like...
Yeah, back in the network days before streaming, I think it was always like 20-something episodes, wasn't it? Like a season would be anywhere from 21 to 24 episodes or something like that.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. I remember like seasons of Seinfeld went on forever, like 25 episodes, maybe more, you know?
That's some damn good money, though, man. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Oh, shit.
Especially, that's what I always tell people. I'm like, dude, back in the day, you know, if you were on Seinfeld or Friends, people were watching because there wasn't a lot to choose from. But now we got so many streaming services to choose from and so many shows. It's like it's hard to see all of them.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm subscribed to like 20 different streaming services. I don't do cable because like, well, you know, cable's too much, which it is. And it's kind of a waste for me. So it's like, I just do all the streaming stuff. It'd be cheaper that way. But if you add everything up, it definitely ain't cheaper.
Yeah, I almost do need to cancel my. That's a good thing there. I think I do need to cancel my cable because why the hell am I paying for that when I've got like 12 streaming services?
Right, and they keep coming up with new ones, man. Any new horror service that comes out that's kind of niche or whatever, it's got some shit that I may haven't seen before, or haven't seen in a long time. I'm gonna subscribe to it, you know. That's what I do.
and of course, I have to subscribe to it too because I'm always filming auditions and trying to learn the tone of the shows and trying to see what shows I want to try to get on, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, the cool thing with you, you're so versatile, man. You can play horror roles. You play action roles. I mean, now you're playing, like, this role in Reservation Dogs, which is totally different from a lot of your roles you're playing. Like, you're very versatile.
Oh, well, thanks, man. Yeah, I love playing the shit ass. that's a lot of fun. Lots of shit asses on Reservation Dogs.
Most definitely. Such a good show, man, because there's a lot of different genres going in on there. Like, there's drama, there's comedy, a little bit of action, like a little bit of thriller here and there, you know. It's really cool. It's a nice, fresh take on a new TV show, you know.
It definitely is, and it was such a shock to get that thing. It was one of those things that came in. I was actually filming an audition for a buddy of mine to try to get him in the movie War Horse 1 that I was working on. And I was filming his, and then I got a call from casting saying, hey, you got to get this on tape, like, within the hour. So I was like, oh, God. So how am I going to do that? So I had no time to prepare for the Reservation Dogs audition at all. It was basically just throw something together and go. And it wasn't until after I sent in the audition that I realized that Taika Waititi was involved and what all he had done and stuff. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, I started looking up everybody involved. I was like, shit, that's a big audition. I probably should have took more than an hour with it, but they needed it, so I got it to them.
Nice. Yeah, it's a hell of a cast, and like with him like directing and everything and, you know, behind the scenes on stuff, like that's pretty fucking amazing.
He's never there. I mean, like, he hasn't been there when I'm there. I think he had to go receive some more awards for the show on our last day that we were there. And then first season, he had just left, I think, to go direct Thor.
Oh, wow.
The Thor movie. I can't remember the name of it, but it's the one that hasn't came out yet, but it's in the works.
Oh, that's cool, because I'm making my way through the Marvel Universe after all these years. I'm going through the timeline order because I really haven't given many of those a chance, but I'm like, I need to try something else a little bit differently. So I just, when I'm doing a Marvel kick right now. So that's pretty cool to know that there's another Thor coming out.
So did you see Ragnarok?
Yes. Is that the one with
Yeah,
the
that was the
Hulk?
one Taka did. That one, I really enjoyed that one. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was the Hulk one, right? Where he fights Hulk?
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I think or he was helping Hulk or something. It had a lot
Yeah.
more comedy in that one.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. I think that was my favorite out of the Thor movies so far that I've seen. I think I've seen all the Thor movies, actually. I think
Yeah,
I've
that
seen
was my
all
favorite. I
those.
liked the first one and that one. I think those were my two favorites for sure.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
With the last one being the favorite of all of them. I think that the early Thor, Marvel wasn't really as big at that point. They hadn't really kicked off in the full swing yet.
Right, with the early Thor movie, yeah. Shit,
Yeah.
I can remember Thor back in the day, on the Incredible Hulk TV show, like in the 80s, I think it was, with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I don't remember that, but I think I saw some pretty funny pictures of
Yeah, the dude that
it.
played Thor did. I mean, he looked like Thor. He's a big dude. I can't remember exactly who he was, but he played on a lot of shit in the 90s, and I still have that somewhere on VHS. It was like a movie version from the TV show. Like they did like a TV movie, and it was Thor and Hulk and Daredevil, I believe.
Oh,
For back then,
wow.
it was really cool, but it doesn't hold a candle to the new stuff.
Right. I'd have to go back and check it out. I'm sorry about that. I got thrown off for a second. I got this text from a director that I'm a fan of his work, and he had a new movie come out. And there's this local guy that hates on us. Like he's a local director, and every time we do anything, it doesn't matter what we do, he just goes everywhere on social media and everywhere he can find and talk shit about us.
Oh
No,
man,
I
that
think his movie
sucks.
just came out Friday. So he's like, man, this asshole strikes again. I was like, yeah, he's gonna do that forever, man. That just shows you what a pussy he is. He didn't have time to do anything but so go around talking shit about us. I'm too focused on what I'm doing next to worry about what these guys got to say. So.
Yeah, fuck it, man. Haters, there's always gonna be haters in anything you do, but well, I've been told before, if somebody's hating on you with stuff, you must be doing something right.
Right, absolutely. I just think it's sad they got that much time, but dude, I'm all right with it because I mean, as long as they're talking shit, that's fine with me because people are gonna go, they're gonna get curious about what they're talking shit about, so they'll be like, oh, let me check this guy out and see if he's as shitty as he says he is.
Right, yeah, that's
So,
publicity.
I mean, that's what I would do, right? If someone goes, man, you gotta see this guy, he's a piece of shit, he's the most awful thing ever. I'm like, really? Is he that bad? I gotta see. I
Yeah,
gotta check
man.
this out. I just think it's funny that he's a filmmaker though, because I don't go rag on anybody's films. I just think that's bullshit. Like, I
Yeah.
don't have time for that. I'm not going to go watch a bunch of people's films and then write shitty stuff about them.
No, it's horrible. I mean, before I really started podcasting hard, I was doing all the reviews and stuff, which I still do, just not near as much as what I used to. But I would get screeners in and stuff, and sometimes it wouldn't be the greatest, but I would always like focus on the positive aspects of that stuff,
Oh,
because
that's cool.
there's no reason to fucking be hating on people. I mean, there's plenty of people to hate on movies and stuff and write shitty reviews, but I'm not gonna do that. I just don't. There's a lot of that going around. I don't need to be another one doing
Well,
that dumb
there
shit.
are those guys that just do shit on purpose, and they charge people a lot of money to be in their movies, the actors and stuff, and they just don't fucking care about the final product. There are people out there who are like that.
Oh,
But if it's
yeah.
somebody who's busting their ass and they're doing the best that they can, because I think a lot of what people don't realize, in today's age of filmmaking is we don't have the time that we did, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Now it's like you got to shoot a fucking movie in 10 days. So the quality of the movies and the acting isn't going to be nearly as good because you're just going at breakneck speeds where you might be able to spend a day on a scene. Now it's like you got to spend 15, 20 minutes on a scene and get the fuck out of there and get to the next location.
Yeah.
So it's much faster paced now. It's much harder to put a great movie together, and the budgets are just so low. And especially with even the streaming services now, there's not really any money in the game like it used to be, where you would get residuals if you were on a major network or, you came out. But now the streaming services are kind of hurting us. Not kind of, they are definitely hurting us for sure. Because back in the day, I could go on an episode of any TV show and say like five lines and with residuals probably make 4 or 5 grand off of one day's work, but those days are long gone, it appears.
Damn, it sounds like the same situation that goes on in the music world, with all the streaming services and stuff. People aren't really buying albums anymore, and like digitally or physically and stuff, and yeah, kind of hurting.
I miss it, man. I miss those times for sure. I mean, it was a huge deal for movies to come out. we'd go see them every weekend at the theater, and you knew what they were and you anticipated them. And it was cool to go to like Blockbuster and the video stores and try to find that gym, you know, mixed in. Those were fun times. It's you can't really find a gym now because you don't even know where the hell to look for it. I mean, it's just buried somewhere in the cloud, somewhere on one of these social media services, you know, not social media, but digital platforms. You just don't know where the hell to look. Like even Cherokee Creek's pretty much buried if you didn't know where to look or what it was called and everything. If you were just looking for like, hey, I want to see a Bigfoot movie, it's probably not going to come up anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Like if you wouldn't have told me about Cherokee Creek when I went and reviewed it all those years ago and stuff, well, it's been a couple of years now, I think. Yeah. So I can say all those years.
But, yeah, all those years. I think it's been, how long has it been? Has it been like 3 or 4 years, right? Something like that.
It's crazy. God,
time flies.
And that was one of my first like actual like screeners too. I think it was Cherokee Creek, and then I got a screener for The Headhunter and stuff. I think those are two of my first ones. And yeah, like if I wouldn't have sent me that, I wouldn't have known about Cherokee Creek, because like if you go into streaming services, like I think it was on Amazon for a while, you can't find it. Like, you know, they got so much oversaturation of stuff, you know.
Right. If you type in Bigfoot on Amazon or Sasquatch or any of that, I don't know if it will even come up at all, which is crazy because we've got to be in like the top five Bigfoot movies for sure, as far as how much money that Amazon's made off of it. So yeah, you would think it would come. I think it's just because it's raunchy and it's not, it didn't get distributed by a studio. So they're just like, ooh, we don't know if we can show all this tits and ass and cussing and gore for a movie that's on an independent label, you know?
Right, it's too dangerous.
Too dangerous. Yeah, but then you see the stuff they're putting out and you're like, dude, what the hell? Like, this is way worse than my stuff.
Yeah, they got some shit on there, like some pretty graphic stuff and stuff. And then stuff like Cherokee Creek that gets buried, which doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. It's one of those things, do as I say, not as I, you know, do or whatever. So it's just crazy because I don't even think I said that fucking right, man. I'm losing my mind. that's what happens when you don't sleep. Yeah, it's crazy though. I remember we just went and saw, my buddy and me went and saw the new Jackass at the theater. We were like, how does this shit get on all the digital platforms, you know? Right. It's pretty graphic, right? I don't know if you've seen any of the Jackass movies, but they're pretty graphic.
And, oh, yeah.
The new one is definitely graphic.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they're all, like, graphic as fuck, so, yeah.
But it's funny. I mean, I think people should be able to decide on their own what they want to see. If you tell them, hey, this is – if you tell them what's in it, it's up to them to decide if they want to watch it.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, totally. With Cherokee Creek, man, like – I still love that movie. It's fucking fun as hell. It's a great Bigfoot movie, which we don't have many of, you know. There's a lot of Bigfoot movies out there, but not all of them are good, you know.
Exactly. I think my favorite ones were Exists was one of them. And that's God, what's one. The other one? Primal Rage was the other one.
Yeah, Primal Rage is badass. I've turned a couple people onto that movie because if you look at the box cover, whatever they have for it, it's like, oh, this is some like sci-fi original. I'm like, right. No, you need to watch it. This is like totally going to blow your mind because you ever seen Sasquatch holding a fucking bow and arrow and shit? It's like so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our three, those are the three that, I mean, and they're all completely different too. Mm-hmm. So you can watch all three of our movies and have a totally different experience with all three of them.
How did Cherokee Creek come to be? Like, what's the origin story on that?
Oh God.
You can give a short version of it now. You guys.
No, it's not long. I had wanted to work with Billy Blair for a while because he was doing like some Indiegogo campaign or one of those campaigns for a movie called Blood Sombrero. And I kept trying to get him to look at some of my reels and short films I was doing at the time. And he wasn't really interested. So what happened was we both got cast in this Bigfoot movie called Bigfoot Wars. And I was super stoked to do it because I was like, I'm going to get to work with C. Thomas Howe. I'm going to meet Judd Nelson. Going to get to finally meet Billy Blair. So I sent him a message. I was like, dude, we're in a scene together on this movie, so you can't avoid me anymore.
Nice.
So now you got to fucking answer my calls and my texts, bro. Yeah, we did that, and I had high hopes for it, and it came out, and it was awful. Like I know I said I don't normally like to rag on movies, but I had high hopes for that movie, and there was just no post-production on the movie whatsoever. You could hear like the generator in the background.
Oh, man.
It was edited really badly. It was almost like someone was doing a rough edit on set just to make sure they got the sequences together and they got their shots, but they didn't clean up any of the sound. They didn't clean up the edits. They didn't tighten up the movie. And it was just like released as this really bad cut. Mm. I don't even think the director was happy with it. I think it was just the company that was financing it just didn't really give a shit, and they just put it out. They're like, oh, we don't care, we're gonna come up. And the box art was actually pretty good. They're like, we're gonna spend our money on the trailer and the box art, we're not putting any money in the post-production on the actual movie. Mm. So when that came out, there were some people that were fucked up about it majorly. And I was pretty mad too, because at the time I was like, dude, I was so excited to work with Judd Nelson and C. Thomas Howe, and then this is what happens. So a relative of mine that has some acreage over here in Texas kept saying, you need to come out to our property. We got all this land. It looks really badass. You could use it in a horror film. Why don't you come make a movie here? And I was like, dude, I don't have anything in mind to write. And it just came about one night after the holiday get together that we started talking about it. And I was like, dude, I really do hate that Bigfoot movie. I mean, if I could do that justice, but how could I do it better than what they did? And I was like, maybe if I mixed a little American Pie meets The Hangover and Friday the 13th with a Bigfoot and just make it raunchy as hell, maybe that would be something different that nobody's seen. Mm-hmm. So the movie, I think it just kept the first thing we shot was that opening sequence with the hunters. And that's when I knew we kind of had something. I was like, wow, this could be something. Because I didn't know what the hell I was doing that day, because everybody I'd hired to work on the movie quit, because they were like, dude, you're just wanting to push the envelope too much. We can't be in a movie with this much language and strippers and all this crazy sex stuff and gore. My wife will leave me if I work on this, you know? So I was like, all right, so you're all quitting? And they're like, yeah, pretty much. So I was like, fuck it. And I did the Kevin Smith way. I kept hearing about Kevin Smith and what he went through on Clerks and how he had to put it on the credit cards. Like, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to go buy all this gear and teach myself how to use it. So I had just learned probably the night before, or maybe a couple nights before, we went and shot the intro to the movie, how to use all that gear.
Wow.
Man, it was fucking nerve-wracking. I wasn't sure how to use it. One of the actors said, hey, I'm going to give you this one day on set, and then I'm quitting acting, because he had been acting for a while and had been in some pretty big projects like Olympus Has Fallen and some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, dude, I'm out. Like, I just want to go have a family and be done with this film shit. And I was like, what? So he was only giving me one day to do it. I wasn't really sure how to use any of the gear, and it was fucking raining on and off the whole day. And I had no idea how we were going to get to the effect stuff, or we were going to kill any of the guys off because of the rain. We weren't even going to get the shots done. And I was like, fuck it. Let's just try to shoot when it's not raining too bad. And I was just sitting there just going nuts. And then all of a sudden the rain stopped and I had like 15 minutes to shoot their death scenes.
Wow. No pressure, right?
No pressure. I hauled ass and got it on the. If you notice the shot of the main hunter dude as he's like going down and it goes to black, that was the last shot I was able to do before the sun went completely down and it was dark.
Damn.
So I got very, very lucky on that. And then once I started showing people those three or four scenes that I put together, it got people more hyped up to work on it. And I felt more confident going forward and just shooting it myself.
That's killer. Yeah. You would never know, like, that was your, like, because that's your first feature film, like I said, like, first time using that kind of equipment and everything like that. I wouldn't know that, you know, unless you told me.
Right, yeah. I'd kind of played around with some music videos, and I shot some new stuff and a couple short films, but I was like, this is the first time I took on anything this huge, and then I was just, like, going to have to do it all myself. Like, luckily, the cast, if the cast wasn't super busy that day, they may come out and watch, and they may help carry equipment or hold the boom pole or something. But a lot of times there was nothing. It was like, I had to like climb up in the trees and set the lights up and everything and try to figure out how to light it all on my own.
Wow. The work involved in that had to be crazy as fuck.
It was, but I got used to lighting stuff at night. And the funny thing was, is I really liked my style of lighting stuff at night. And then I became so good at lighting stuff at night, everyone would just hire me to do night stuff. So now, if someone hires me to do something during the day, I'm like, how the fuck am I going to do that? I'm not used to lighting anything in the daytime. During the day, you're more like hiding from the sun and trying to use a diffuser and stuff like that versus, hey, we're just going to be out in the open sun.
Damn.
So that's the funny thing. And we got really lucky on that whole opening sequence because it was so cloudy and rainy that the lighting just looked amazing on it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The lighting was killer in the whole film to me. I thought it was cool. That and I enjoyed the practical Bigfoot, no CGI Bigfoot. That was great.
Yeah, that was very nerve-wracking because we didn't even have a budget to do a run-through to see what it was going to look like. So we hired the team to come out and try to do as many death scenes as possible that night, along with showing what the Bigfoot's face was. So we didn't have a lot of money. A lot of people wanted like 10 grand to do the suit. And I'm like, nah, bro, we're going to get a shitty suit and then we're going to spend the money on the face. Because a lot of Bigfoot movies, you don't really see a good look at the Bigfoot's face.
Right.
So I wanted it to look cool. And even in ours, I think it looks really badass in a few of the shots. And then there's a few of them I'm like, I could tell because it's all practical, it's starting to kind of melt off. But we just didn't have a choice. It was like, shoot as fast and as much as you can in 24 hours and get all these people out of here.
How many days total did you shoot for?
Oh, gosh. I would say it was probably close to like 26, 28 half nights. We could only use the property we were on. All the nighttime stuff on that property was like shot from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. So wow. They were super short nights.
Damn, that's crazy. It's like it just goes to show you, man, if you got the passion for it, you know, you can achieve almost anything, you know, like super DIY spirit.
Yeah, we literally, well, you just got to buy stuff. And now it's even cheaper than ever. I think now you could probably buy a really kick-ass camera for under $3,000, get a couple badass lenses for under $2,000, get you some sound gear. You go to Home Depot, get some lights, get you some diffusers on them, and you can shoot a badass looking movie now for under like $15,000.
I've seen a movie that came out a few years ago, was shot on an iPhone, and it made it on Hulu and stuff, and it was actually a pretty killer movie. I just can't remember the name off the top of my head. Shot on an iPhone, the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, everything's just about setting up. You just have to take your time and set up each shot to make each shot as beautiful as you can, you know, make it look as great as you can.
Yeah, most definitely.
But I'm all about light and shadows, man. I like stuff to look as realistic as possible. A lot of today you can tell the cheaper stuff is just like they just go buy a bunch of shitload of stuff, shitload of lights, and just light up everything. There's no shadows. Everything's lit up like Christmas, and they just shoot it. And I'm like, dude, that's not a horror film to me.
No, definitely not. That's a big complaint I have, too, with a lot of stuff that's coming out in the past couple of years, like the whole lighting, man. Lighting's everything. Sets the mood, you know. I like dark shadows and, like, reds and, you know, blue tints right. of things and stuff. And I just don't like super bright digital-looking, you know, stuff. It just don't do
it. No, if I'm going to shoot on a digital, the audience needs to think it's film. I want it to look like film as much as possible. I don't want it to be super crisp, super like that high speed frame rate shit they do where they make the TV speed up to like 60 frames and shit. I can't stand any of that stuff. It looks fake as hell to me.
Yeah. It looks like you're watching like a soap opera or something.
Right. Like a live newscast, soap opera, that kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't want to see no movies like that. Cause what make movies look good was when they were shot on film at 24 frames a second. That shit looks real. I mean, it takes you to a different place. It looks like a new world. It looks like a place you want to go to when you're just seeing this other stuff where it just looks so fake. It looks like shit. I can't stand it.
Yeah, it kind of reveals the magic that goes behind the film when you, like, up the frame rate and everything else. Like, the whole, like, magic mystery disappears. It's like, man, this looks like I'm looking through a window or something. Like, I can tell that's fake. Oh, that looks like shit.
Yeah, and over-sharpening stuff where they over-sharpen the footage and they're shooting, like, an 8K. And I'm like, dude, I don't need more than, like, 2K, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, our eyes can only see so fucking clear anyway. So, like, what's the limit? When are we going to stop? Like,
yeah, I don't like 8K. Seeing people's face that detailed. It makes people's faces look like shit. So it's like nobody's face looks that good, that sharpened. I mean, the thing that the appeal of film was it softened people's look, not sharpened it. So
right.
Nobody wants that shit that sharp. It makes you look old as hell and just gross.
Yeah, like this magnifies all the flaws and everything, even, you know, the actors and like your special effects, like it magnifies everything like 10 times.
Exactly. I think that's why I've always heard they shoot The Walking Dead on Super 16 or something like that. And then they up-res it to HD or something.
It does look good. I'm not the biggest Walking Dead fan. You know, I've watched most of the seasons just because I want to at least complete them. And I watch the new one when it comes out on Netflix or whatever. But, you know, it does look damn good.
Oh, yeah. The first few seasons were amazing, dude. That first season just blew me away.
Yeah, I was watching that. I think I was at maybe on tour or something, but I remember watching that in the hotel room. I was like, oh, shit, dude, they're bringing this kind of show on, like, network television. Like, this is pretty fucking badass.
Oh, it was so badass. Super badass. I just don't think, honestly, I just don't know how you can't run a show. How long has it been on? 11, 12 years now? And just... Mm-hmm. A shit ton of episodes and just trying to keep that level. I just don't know that that's sustainable.
No, I definitely don't think so. And from what I hear, they're doing a spinoff after this main storyline's done. So it'd be more Walking Dead, but, you know, won't follow the same storyline and stuff. So they can finally end it.
Yeah. I'm curious what they're going to do with the movies.
Yeah, I heard they're going to do the movies, but then again, I haven't heard much about it in the recent year or so. Like, are they still doing the movies? Like,
I
what's
don't
going
know.
on?
I would think so. I mean, I think that guy that played Rick would definitely want to do the movies. He hasn't been doing anything else that I know of. I mean, I haven't looked him up recently, but he could be. I mean, dude, to be honest, I don't even know what the hell's going on with my own movies that I'm in. So I literally get up every week, and check what the new movies are coming out. Going, is any of the movies I worked on going to be one of them? Because you never know.
Damn, they don't give you like a heads up or anything like that. Like, hey,
Sometimes
your
they
movie's
do,
coming
and sometimes they don't say anything. Like I've literally seen it where you just like, you look up or you see the promo for something, you're like, holy shit, I'm in that, and I didn't even know it was coming out. It comes out next week, or it comes out in 5 days. You're like, what the hell?
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was excited about this one I did with Leslie Bibb and Dermot Mulroney called The Inhabitant. It's been over a year since I did it, and there's been no updates on IMDb. There's been nothing sent out from production or anything. I don't know what's going on with that movie. I know I'm excited to see how it turns out, but I hadn't heard anything. And they just now dropped the teaser for this movie called Blind Blood that I'm in. Man, everybody's just telling me it's everyone who's seen the movie says it's fucking amazing.
Nice. Yeah, I have to keep an eye out for that one. You're in a lot of movies, man. I was looking at your IMDb just as a total, like, you're very fucking busy.
It seems that way, but it's not like a lot. The thing is, some of these movies I worked on 7 years ago, and I don't know where the hell they are in the production status of them. And then some of them I worked on within the last 3 years. Those are the ones I'm waiting to see what happens with them.
I think the last thing I watched with you was the Rosebud, the Jason Voorhees like
Oh,
trivia movie.
yeah. The funny thing about that is I'm actually doing a behind the scenes interview for the Blu-ray after we finish.
No shit.
Yeah, those guys are great, man. I don't
Yeah.
I have no idea how they shot that fucking movie so fast. I think they shot it in less than 10 days.
That's crazy. And being that it's just like, a fan-made movie, quotation marks there, like it's very well done.
There was nothing fan about it. It didn't feel like a fan-made film to me. I mean, they had a bigger crew than most indie films I work on.
Wow.
But those people were there for love. I mean, those fucking there's nobody on there who wasn't dying to be on that set. I mean, they all just wanted to be there. At least it felt that way when I was there.
Right.
But I was only there for like a day or two, so I don't know what happened before or after I was there. But it felt like everybody loved being there. Everybody was on really great behavior. Everybody treated me awesome, so I had a good time. But I just don't know how to do that, man. I don't want to ever go through that again, shooting movies that fast. Not as a director. I couldn't handle it. It's too stressful.
If you had to choose, would you be a director or actor if you only had to do one?
Oh man, I would love to be an actor full time. Just and have some kind of say in the projects I work on, and some kind of say with the directors I'm working on. Because when you're working with a great director on a great project, that's just heaven, man. It just doesn't get any better than that. That's just fun. If I was directing with budgets, that might be fun too. But most of the budgets we get are so low, it's just like it's me and maybe one or two other people if you're lucky, and then you got to try to make magic out of nothing.
Right. So you think, talking about like actor and director stuff, is there a chance there could be another Cherokee Creek that you direct in the second one maybe, or is that out, not gonna happen?
I think we were definitely on board to do it because the movie was like number three on iTunes. We were killing it. But when we found out that the people who were handling all the accounting and stuff like that, it was that company distributor, they just wiped thousands of filmmakers out. They stole millions of dollars from all of us, and we lost every damn thing. Didn't
Oh,
make shit,
fuck.
man.
That's horrible.
I think it was probably on pace to make between 100 and a quarter mil during that first 6 to 9 months out, which would have definitely put us on pace to do more movies, and I would have loved doing more movies. I mean, it was an incredible ride up until that point. Like the press that we were doing, getting to go on all the podcasts, the radio shows, getting to go on the news, just doing screenings, premieres, all that. I mean, that was like a dream come true. You couldn't have asked for something better because we just thought, my God, this thing's going to take off. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then I had to pull the plug on it and just took it off of everything except for Amazon. And I put it back on Amazon. And that's the only place it lives right now.
Man, it'd be a good choice for Shudder, man. I think it'd be work really well on Shudder.
I think so too. There's been a couple people approach me to want to do that, but they just want such a huge amount to do it. I'm like, bro, I've already been raped over so bad by these accountants. I don't even, I don't want to give a, it doesn't make sense to me to put it on something to get raped again. You know,
yeah.
I just don't want to do that. If it makes sense, I'm all about putting it on Shudder, and I would love to see it on Tubi and some of the other platforms as well. We just got to get the right middleman involved. You know, that's the thing. What middleman can we trust to make the fucking phone call?
Yeah.
That's really all they're going to do. Somebody's going to make the phone call to Shudder or Tubi for us and then put us on there, and then they're going to get paid for it.
Cherokee Creek would be perfect on The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob. That'd be
yeah, dude, movie. Like his web, the dude that works for his website reviewed the movie and he loved it. So it's crazy. I think he said it was probably either his first or second favorite Bigfoot movie that he's ever watched.
That's killer. That's a hell of an honor.
He posted it on Joe Bob's website and his Facebook and all that stuff. So we got a lot of traffic back when he did that. That was cool.
And I guarantee you, Joe Bob's probably watched it too.
I hope so. You never know. You never know. I know Billy gave him a personal copy of the Blu-ray when they were at a somewhere. They were signing at a con somewhere together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, even when it first came out, we went to a horror convention together. It was weird. Like separate people didn't recognize us much, but when we were together, they kind of knew we were from Cherokee Creek, and then fans would come up and take pictures, and we sold a good amount of Blu-rays at that convention.
That's badass. So did you got to actually meet Joe Bob? Or?
Yeah. I've said hi to him a couple times, but he doesn't know who the hell I am. Dude, that's the crazy thing about today's market. Like we were talking back in the day, like we're literally going to these conventions, right? We're meeting people who's been in maybe three movies. You know what I'm saying? But those movies are so iconic and they're such cult classics that we're excited to meet them. But now you could be an actor and be in like 200 movies, but nobody knows who the fuck you are.
Yeah, going back to the oversaturation thing again. Yep.
It's just nuts. Like Reservation Dogs, I'm really hoping is gonna continue to take off. I know they've won so many damn awards, and it's like all over the place. They're always out there. I think they just spend months going to all the award shows. At least that's what I think they've been doing for the last two or three months before we started filming season two.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's a great fucking show, and it's unique, too. It has, like, a hook to it, you know? It's not doing what a lot of other shows are doing. I think that's what really sets it apart.
I think they're kind of pushing the buttons on some stuff, too, which is fun. I like when people take chances with the comedy, and they can't always worry about who they're going to offend. I like that. And then the whole shit-ass thing has just been hilarious to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got some danger to it, which I love. It's, like, it's not afraid, like, you know, I say hit, you know, pull some stuff, you know?
The stuff that I've seen so far for second season is going to be fucking hilarious.
But what's a day like in for the role in Reservation Dogs? What's your day like with that?
We show up. You know, I eat breakfast, and they have the drivers come and pick us up, and then we'll go to wardrobe, and then we'll kind of look at what we like and what we want to pick, and then we'll tell them what we like, and then they'll decide what they like. You know. After they've seen what we like, and then we try to pick the right thing, you know.
Yeah.
I really like what I had on there. I like the hat that they gave me this last time, though. That was pretty fun. But once we do all that, you just kind of have to go to set. You go to your trailers, and everybody's just kind of hanging out their trailers, craft service. You just kind of do your thing. They take really good care of you as far as food, drinks, and all that. And then you get on set, man. This last time, I don't know why I didn't do it. I totally fucking should have done it the last damn I was there. When we showed up to that bar, man, just – You felt like you were on a Steven Spielberg movie set, bro. I mean, it was just like, it felt like there was like just trucks after trucks after trucks of 18-liter trailers and just everything. It was just maddening how many people and all the gear that they had there.
Wow.
And then they had these people that were cooking whatever you wanted. They were whipping up catfish and guacamole. I mean, just anything you could think of. It was awesome. I was like, dude, I wish I could just hang out here in this moment, but I got to go in and do my thing, you know?
Yeah, so
I'm sure everybody was having a great time, and I'm like sitting here focused on my lines, you know.
Yeah, you got to work. It's like, you know, I can't dilly dally on this shit.
No, it feels a lot more pressure with season two for whatever reason. Me and my co-stars were talking about it. It's like the first time we're there, you know, we don't know any of these people. I mean, I recognize some of the actors and the guest stars and stuff, but I didn't really know the kids. I mean, as far as I knew, a lot of them hadn't done a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. A couple of them had, but I wasn't like freaked out to work with them or anything. And now you're with them, and they've all been hanging out with Spielberg, and some of them have been in Steven Spielberg's movies and stuff. And you're like, well, shit, now I'm nervous. now there's a lot more people on set. You know, it feels like the stakes are a lot higher for second season.
Yeah, they're more seasoned now. You know, they've been around now. Like, they've been to the award shows. They hung out with, like, you know, the high rankers and stuff like that.
Right. The first time you're working, it feels like a fun, independent film set. And then the second time you go, it feels like a massive studio production. But, we all got into our parts and we were able to relax into it and get back to work. So that was fun. But you definitely feel a little bit more nervous when you just see that many people around and just all that stuff. You're like, crap, man. Right. I think I even joked with him and said, I could have got you guys a couple lights at Home Depot, you know. Saved you some money. You didn't have to bring all these people for me.
Yeah, we'll save you a couple million, if not more than that.
Hey, it's awesome, though. It's great. It's bringing the work to Oklahoma and to all those people and have all the natives out there working. That's great, man.
It is. It's really cool. And I say it's like kind of the first of its kind, too, because
it's definitely, as far as I tell people, I said, I don't think there's anything ever been done like this when there's been that many Native Americans working on a production like this and then writing and directing, producing. And they're just all part of it and they're all having a good time. And they made us really feel welcomed, which was cool. Probably one of the most welcoming sets I've been on in a long time, where everybody was just so cool to us.
And that matters definitely, you know, especially with the chemistry on set too. Like if you're in a nice, welcoming, you know, environment like that.
Oh yeah, it makes a huge difference. Because some environments are so fucking stressful. You're just like, dude, I just hope I can get through this shit. You know, I just want to get through it and get out of here. It is that way, though. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Arsenal. I did. It was a Nicolas Cage movie directed by Stephen C. Miller. And that dude can direct fast fucking movies, man. He does great stuff.
I may have seen that one. As I'm not recalling it off the top of my head right now.
What's crazy? It's where Cage kind of goes off the rails. He's got a mustache and a fake nose and this wig on. And it's just, it's a wild.
You just sold me on it right then and there. I got to find I fucking love Nicolas Cage, so.
I do too, man. He's always good to me in all those movies. I mean, he's doing the best he can with whatever they're throwing him, whatever scenario they're throwing him. But Steven, I'm working at this pawn shop, and it was a really cool scene that they brought me on to do. And I think we shot that shit out in just minutes. It felt so quick, so quick. And I remember him even telling me we're in penalties. Like, we're like in a penalty, so we've got to do one take of this master, then they're going to make us break for lunch. We're going to come back, put two cameras on you, get your close up, and get out of here. Damn. But I'd be shocked if they spent more than 15 minutes filming me on that thing.
That's super fast pace.
Yeah, I think we did one take of the master. They had two cameras on me for a master shot, just to kind of establish the environment. Went to lunch, came back, did that. And on top of that, right, I would say 2 minutes before I go do this, right? And you're already going to be nervous enough because you're doing a Cage movie. You're like, I got to fuck. I'm a huge Nicolas Cage fan. I want to kill it for this director. And I want to do a good job in the movie. And then I get a call from my mom who doesn't know where the fuck I'm at. And she's like, hey, I think I'm going to need you to take me to the hospital. I'm having some issues. Oh, like, no. I had to call my wife and said, hey, you got to get my mom. Call 911. Take her to the hospital. I don't know what the hell's going on, but she's got to be rushed to the hospital. So that all happens like 2 minutes before I go on and got to kill it with limited takes.
Holy shit. Another note pressure, right?
God. Yeah, the stakes were high, man. But luckily, you know, they got her to the hospital in time and got everything taken care of. But when my mom says she needs to go to the hospital, it usually means she's having a stroke, heart attack, or something. Like, it's usually like dire consequences. But luckily that time it wasn't.
That's good. Yeah. Do you have any Nicolas Cage stories? Did you get to hang out with him a little bit?
I didn't get to hang out with him, dude. He came in and worked when I wasn't there. My scene wasn't with him. It was one of the other leads in the movie, which was, he was really cool too, though. We had a lot of fun and did some improv in the scenes. So that worked out.
That's cool.
And then I don't know if you saw Infamous on Hulu. I got to do that one with Bella Thorne. That one was a pretty cool one.
Infamous. I think I may have seen that one. Like, I'm not recalling it once again. I see so many fucking films. I keep track of them.
That was the one I was in the gas station and she came in to stick a gun in my face.
I think I did see that one, but I don't remember that well. Probably only seen it once.
That was a lot of fun too. I got to shoot a shotgun and just go fucking crazy with the shotgun. That was cool.
Do you prefer working horror or like action movies? Do you have like a preference?
So far, I've had fun with the horror, action, and comedy. All three of those have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't guess I really do too much drama. So if it's just talking with nothing going on, that's probably not my thing.
How did you get your start with acting? How did all come to be?
Oh man, you ever see the movie Office Space?
Oh hell yeah.
Okay, so you know how those guys go in and they get the interview and they're trying to interview them for the job and they're like letting people go left and right and you don't know what the fuck's going on. So I worked for this life insurance company, but I worked on computers, and our job was to replace. They leased computers for some reason back then. So when the lease was up, we would have to go in and replace all the monitors and computers. And we basically go in and get all the stuff off someone's hard drive and tell them to back it up. And then we'd bring in the new computers. Mm-hmm. Well, we had those meetings started happening just like an Office Space.
Oh,
God. They came in and like, hey, what do you do? Whatever. And we're like, told them this. And they said, hey, well, here's the deal. We're going to buy this company out. We're going to keep all of you guys on for a while, you know, and if we let you go, we're going to give you a nice severance package. But for the first year and a half, we're going to just be letting people go periodically. So you're never really going to know when your time is up. So like every week they would just call people and just let them go out of the blue. You'd be like, oh shit, this is Black Friday or Black Wednesday, whatever the fuck they're going to call us and just start shit canning us. But the good thing was if they canned you within that year and a half, you got your severance package. So that was cool. So we weren't allowed to do shit because our job had pretty much just went away. So we would just go to this big storage room with all the computers where we would load these software programs, and I would get online and play video games, and I'd screw around on dating websites and all kinds of shit. And I was on this dating website, and this lady's like, you should come and be an extra in a Chuck Norris movie called Bells of Innocence. And I was like, what? You gotta be shitting me. This is like some fake shit, right? So I went out there, dude, and it was a real movie. And I was an extra on a Chuck Norris movie. And I fell in love with being on set that first day. And I was like, man, I gotta figure out how to do this more. Then somehow this other guy that worked within that same company, he was one of those reenactor guys. He would do like old West type shit. Mm-hmm. And he was like, man, I'm going to go work on this Western movie. I heard you like doing like background work. And I was like, yeah, man, let's go fucking do it. Well, I went out there and this dude picks me up to drive me to set because the parking was far. And I said, well, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm in charge of stunts. I said, great, I'm a stunt guy. I lied. So the next thing I know, it ends up being the same damn movie that I was an extra in. But now I hear them yelling for me on the walkie-talkie to bring me to set to do the damn stunts.
Oh, wow.
Which was not a good idea. Don't ever say you're a stunt guy unless you're trained, because I still feel the pain to this day.
Shit.
20 years later, I'm still feeling it. So that was crazy. So that's kind of how I got started. That lady did extra work. I said, hey, you should get into casting. Then I got into producing. I hired her to do some casting for me when I was producing some stuff. For like 10 years, I screwed around with some bad indie films, you know, just going around acting in them. I didn't really take acting as serious as I should have. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept losing job after job. I'd help these startup companies get started, make them a lot of money. Then they'd get rid of me. Or they just turn into assholes, whichever. And the last time it happened, I was like, dude, I'm just going to go get an agent and just try to take this shit serious and see what happens.
Well, it paid off, that's for sure, I think.
So that's where it is. Well, you always hope it pays off. I mean, it definitely pays off, and you're getting to meet a lot of amazing people, and you get to be a part of these really cool movies that are going to last forever, you hope. Mm-hmm. And you just never know which one's going to hit. But I feel really, really good about the work we put out in the last 2 years on these movies. I think a lot of them are going to be really good when they come out.
That's killer. Yeah. That's a cool, like, showing that you can, you know, get around some hurdles, man. Cause you know, getting laid off there or whatever. And like, you know, what do I do now? And the luck comes your way. Like, hey, you want to fucking be an extra on here? That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. The powers that be, man, I could tell you story after story that makes absolutely no sense. It could not be written or planned any better to get me where I am right now. It's like I had to be at this place at this exact time to meet this exact person, or none of this shit would have happened.
It's crazy how shit works like that, man. Sometimes I believe I'm in some type of simulation, you know, because it's like, this is so fucking weird. Like, how's this happening, you know? It's very strange.
Yeah, well, I mean, whether you're spiritual or not, or believe in God or whatever you want to believe in, there's definitely something that I can say for a fact that has led me certain directions that I would have never thought of going on my own. And it's people who come into your life like these guardian angels, and you're like, where the hell did this person come from? They came out of nowhere. They treat me cooler than anybody I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know me. So weird. They just come and go, man. They just come and go. It's so weird.
They kind of get you there and guide you for a little bit and let you go on your own and do your thing. And
I had planned on them being a part of my life, but unfortunately some of them had gotten killed or passed away or whatever, just from bad shit happening to them, man. Mm-hmm. Like the guy that came on, one of the guys that helped us on Cherokee Creek, he's one of the cops at the end that's helping the sheriff, you know, when he's getting ready to arrest everybody.
Uh-huh.
The guy who's putting the cuffs on somebody, I met that guy called me out of the blue, and I didn't realize I'd worked on a movie called Knuckle Bones with him, but I wasn't, I didn't work with him. We just worked on the same movie. He was in the movie as an actor. I was in the movie as an actor. I guess he was one of the producers, and he'd kind of been watching what I was doing. Cause there's people watching you in this industry that you don't fucking know that are watching you.
Right.
So he's kind of watching what I was doing, and he knew what was going on with Cherokee Creek with the financing and stuff like that. This dude just calls me up out of the blue, says, "Hey, meet me at a Chili's over here." And I'm like, "All right, what the fuck is this guy going to bug me about?" I go over there kind of not really wanting to go. The dude hands me a pretty nice check and says, "This is to help you with Cherokee Creek. No strings attached."
Wow.
So that was wild, dude. It was just wild to meet that guy. And another guy who's been super helpful with that movie and other stuff in my life was James Yeager. I don't know if you remember him. He's the guy's like, he's at the dig bar. He's like knocking on the window saying, "Hey, you owe us for two dances and three drinks."
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now that dude, as far as I know, he's came down with it's called ALS, I believe. And he's in fucking Ukraine fighting over there right now, fighting the Russians.
Wow.
But that was just another guardian angel that came out of nowhere in my life that was helping guide me with like business decisions and helping get the word out. Cause he's a huge tactical guy who teaches actors like Jeremy Renner and myself and other people in the industry how to use weapons and to protect themselves in the real world. And then all of a sudden that shit happens to him and he's over in Ukraine now. I'm like, what the fuck is going on, bro?
That's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy how you meet these people. I think I met him. Well, I know I met him on Daylight's End briefly. Mm-hmm. And then we showed up to the world premiere together at a film festival. And his wife said I reminded her of a crazy Joe Pesci type guy.
I don't see that, but, you know, okay. That's a
who knows? I was probably like, motherfucker this, motherfucker that, fuck, you know, who knows? So maybe she was thinking, hey, that's Joe Pesci. I don't know. But anyway, we became friends after just this brief little meeting and stayed in touch ever since.
That's killer, man. Yeah, there's some really cool people out in the world. You know, there's a lot of shitty people, too. But the good ones, there are some good ones out there, and they will help you.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I mean, I just keep meeting. I just keep putting my work out there into the universe, hoping that the right people, it's falling on the right eyes, you know, and they're going to call me again. That's kind of how Warhorse One came together. It's a long story how I met Will Kaufman. It would take too long to tell you everything, but that's kind of how that all went down. And we just kept running into each other at different events, different jobs. We were just brought together to work together. And during COVID, when there was nothing going on and I was dying to have something to do to get my mind right, mm-hmm. he called me and cast me in that movie. And The crazy thing is, he don't tell me shit about it, dude. He don't tell me nothing. I still don't know shit about this movie, right? To this day. So he calls me up and he's like, "Bro, I'm going to offer you this really cool role in my movie, but I can't tell you what it is. You'll find out when we start filming and you're mm-hmm. not going to get a script." I'm like, "What?" So I show up, dude, and there's like a makeup artist. She's turning me into this Arabic dude. And then I have to learn Arabic and then I have to go start filming.
Wow.
So I play like this jacked up ISIS dude in this movie that's really badass, and it stars Johnny Strong, who was in a couple of other William Kaufman movies, Daylight's End, and I think Sinners and Saints is the name of it. I always get it mixed up, whether it's Saints and Sinners or Sinners and Saints. Really good movies though. And he also was in like Black Hawk Down and some other movies that he killed in. I think he was in the original Fast and Furious also.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, that was just a huge blessing. Like, you're just sitting at home, not shit to do, depressed, nothing to do but work out, eat and watch TV and drink, I guess, if that's what you want to do. And I get the call to go do that movie. But, man, talk about stress. I was stressing the fuck out because I'm like, I don't know what this dude is going to have me do. I don't know how big this part's going to be. I don't even know if I can do it because there was no way to prepare.
And this film's not out yet, right? It's not out yet.
No, Johnny Strong just posted that it's 2 weeks out from being fully completed.
Oh, cool.
He'll send a text every once in a while he's at the studio and they're doing the final mixes, the 5.1 mix on the movie or something. He goes, "Oh man, just watch your fucking scene. It's fucking amazing. You're going to die when you see it. Watch this scene." He'll describe some of the scenes that I'm in and I'm like, dude, I just want to see it. When's this going to happen?
Get all
That's
the
what I've been hearing though. Like the people who have been a part of the production and the post-production will call you up or like send you a text or something. Like, "Oh man, wait till you see the movie." And then you're like, dude, it's probably going to be another 6 months. I'm going to die. Just let me see it now.
Yeah, I've been seeing that a lot with some of my actor friends and stuff on Facebook. The Greasy Strangler's got a few movies out there and stuff. Michael Rapaport, and he's always complaining, like, "I don't know when this will come out. I hope it comes out before I die." He was fucking hilarious.
I'm like, "I hope it comes out before I die." Yeah, that's the fucked up thing as an actor is because whether you want to admit it or not, probably you're going to die not seeing your best work or some of your, you know, whatever the latest things are you worked on. You might have worked on like 4 or 5 movies. And you may not get to see those before you pass.
Right. That's crazy.
Which sucks because you're always like, "I want to see it." But I get it. It takes time. It takes 6 months to a year to really put a movie together right.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out who's going to put the movie out. And the studio's got to figure out what date they want to slide it in. So you're just sitting around waiting for years. That's what's got to suck. Just imagine, like, if you worked on one of the big Marvel movies or anything, you had to sign, like, this NDA. And you know you're probably going to be famous in like 3 or 4 years, but you can't say fucking thing about it.
Yeah. God, that's got to be stressful as fuck.
I'm sure that's how it was for Tom Holland when he was doing those movies. He probably just had to sit around and not say a damn thing forever.
He's like, "You just don't know, but you know, I'm really famous, but I can't tell you anything right now. I'll be famous like 4 years from now. You see?"
Yeah, 4 years from now when these movies finally. Well, I was saying 4 years because of COVID with all the delays, right? Because there's probably some new actor that's in like Top Gun 2 that we don't know about yet, but
right
sitting there waiting for the movie to come out for 3 years.
So I'm gonna be real rich. Just gotta hold on a second, it's coming.
Probably not rich the way it works these days, but maybe famous enough to get another role, you hope.
Yeah Well, hopefully if you're in a Marvel movie you got some money, I would hope, because of the budget and stuff, but who knows.
I don't know, man, with all the streaming stuff you don't get those residuals like you used to. That's the thing that kills us, you know. The residuals is what keeps us going. So
right,
it's gotten to the point it's so expensive to go do the damn movie, you know. And you got to be on. Everyone thinks that like when you get cast in a movie that you're gonna make all this money. In the old days, I hear, if you got cast in a movie, they would send a car to come pick you up wherever you lived, put you on a plane, put you up and get you a rental car, put you in a nice hotel or condo, whatever. And you got to live it up while you worked on the movie. But those days are gone.
Like I said, streaming services are kind of killing shit.
Yeah, now it's like you better live wherever. You got to live within 50 miles where they're filming or you're not getting hired for the job. Which sucks.
Yeah. I was an extra in one film in my life. This was years ago. I was an extra in a sci-fi horror comedy. And my job was to wear a pink jumpsuit with a whole bunch of other people with pink jumpsuits and run through the woods for about 8 hours.
Oh my gosh.
They didn't even put me in the credits. I wasn't even, I thought I was at least be on the Internet Movie Database credits. That's all I really wanted. It's cool. I know no pay was involved. I got fed some pieces of chicken nuggets or whatever, some kind of weird food they had for everybody. Really cheap nuggets to feed everybody. It was like grilled chicken nuggets or some shit.
Hey, man, at least you got that. Sometimes you get pizza or beef jerky or nothing. I mean, you just never know what the fuck you're going to get on these things.
It was the toughest 8 hours I've had in a very long time. And I work outside. I work manual labor, you know, and this shit was fucking tough because the suits are so fucking hot they had us in. And supposedly Troma picked it up, but I don't know if that was 100%. Like real or whatever, because I haven't really seen it. No, I haven't even fucking seen it. People have seen it and told me, "Oh, I've seen your head blow up in a movie." I haven't. Yeah, my scene, I had a bunch of like fake blood, which was mixed with like chocolate syrup, luckily, so it tasted fine. And I had a prosthetic eyepiece on because the alien in the movie blows my head up, so I have to spit all this shit out my mouth. And I got this super hot prosthetic eye that just came out the microwave. They like melted it all down for it can stick on my face. So that's burning my eye, and I got all this chocolate syrup in my mouth. It's supposed to be blood and stuff. And they said in the post-production, I guess with the CGI, my head's supposed to explode, and I've never seen it myself. So
you got to look for that, man, and send it over to me.
I might be on YouTube now. So it's been out for a while. This is like at least 10 years ago. Me and my wife were both in it. Me and my wife and a friend of ours was in it. So
I was in, I guess it was a trauma style movie. I know Lloyd Kaufman was in it, and Rhonda Shearer. It was called Prison of Go-Go.
Uh-huh.
There's some, I'll see if I can find a clip of it way back when I did it. But yeah, I'm sure now if that shit came out, we'd all get canceled. But back then it was pretty crazy. I don't, that's the thing that's so fucked up for me, man, is I grew up watching all these movies from the 70s, 80s, 90s. So my brain still lives in that world. And I still kind of talk like that. So I'm always like, shit, am I saying something I ain't supposed to be saying? I didn't worry about any of that shit when I did Cherokee Creek because that shit hadn't even started yet, right? So when I was making Cherokee Creek, anything I could think of just came out of our mouths.
Yeah.
We weren't worried, oh, shit, are we going to piss somebody off?
Y'all did a hell of a job, man. That was a fun fucking film. One of the last kind of like fun like horror films to come out in a while, so.
Well, I definitely hope to get back into doing some more directing and stuff. For me, if people want to pay me to do it, I'd love to do it, but it's not. I'm not going to put it on the credit card again.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that.
I think I've got 100 credits directing now, like commercials, music videos, all that kind of stuff, plus Cherokee Creek. So I'm like, if you don't believe I can do it now, then there's nothing I can do to convince you. But I'm not putting it on my credit card. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, fuck that. Well, do you have any other projects you want to mention that's coming out?
The ones to look for right now, we definitely want to be looking for Reservation Dogs Season 2. If you haven't seen Season 1, you can stream all of Season 1 right now on Hulu. So definitely looking for Season 2. I'm hoping that'll start mid to late summer. I don't know for sure. That's a guess, but that's kind of how it went down last year, so I imagine it's going to be similar. The Channel, directed by William Kaufman, looks really, really good. I got to work on that with Max Martini. I don't know if you know who he is. He was in 13 Hours, if you saw that.
Have not.
Dude, 13 Hours, fucking awesome movie. You got to check it out. Probably Michael Bay's best film. Whether you like Michael Bay or not, you'll like 13 Hours. Really good. And Clayne Crawford's also in that movie. He's also one of the leads.
Mm-hmm.
Loved working with all those guys. Really cool guys. The Inhabitant with Leslie Bibb and Dermot Mulroney. Don't know when it's coming out, but fingers crossed it comes out this year. And War Horse 1, I'm hoping that'll be out mid to late summer, starring Johnny Strong from The Fast and Furious and Black Hawk Down. And then we got Blind Blood coming up. That teaser just came out, so I don't know when it comes out. But the teaser looked really good, so I'm excited about that one as well. That's all I got at the moment, but that's a good amount, I think.
That's positive stuff, man. That's all good stuff.
Yeah, those are good. Those are some good dark movies. I'll send you the links to everything I just mentioned so you can kind of take a look at what's going on with those.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, that would be cool. And if it's cool, I can put those links on the show notes, too, for the podcast episode if you want.
For sure. Definitely, man.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Todd, this has been fucking fun, man. I enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, hopefully I can come back on when I can actually talk about the projects because right now I can't say shit about any of them except that I worked on them. So that's about it.
Yeah, most definitely, dude. Just hit me up. You know, I'm always open and stuff. And we can talk some more about your other upcoming projects that you can talk about then.
Awesome. I hope I've got more coming soon, man. Hopefully Reservation Dogs is going to kick some ass. We'll be in multiple episodes and that'll help us lead to more work.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will be. I mean, this is a fucking great show, and I think it's going to be another great season. So,
I think so, too, man. I think so, too, for sure.
Excellent, Todd.
Thanks for having me on. You can find me on Facebook under Todd Jenkins and Todd Jenkins Official on Instagram, I believe.
Excellent. So, everybody listen, follow Todd and check out his work, because Todd's fucking awesome. So,
well, thank you, man. I appreciate all your love and support, man. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, man. You have a good weekend.
You too, brother. I'll talk to you on the next one.